Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's the 27th day of January 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And then K-State's Mike Wolverton will join us closer to the bottom of the hour to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, Secretary of Ag Tom Vilsack has extended the public comment period relating to rules limiting farm payments, or CAPS. And the Obama administration cabinet member also stated USDA will move to help the still developing and sometimes struggling ethanol industry. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then we'll continue our discussion about the Illinois performance-tested bull sale. I told you the when and where and what yesterday. Today, we'll plumb the why. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Time to take a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this in the wheat bit, the March contract, 584 and three quarters, down 7 3/4. May futures at 597 and a half settlement price on a Tuesday, down 7 3/4 as well. In July, the harvest month, $6.09, 7 1/4 lower. September at 632, 6 1/2 lower. March corn futures, 377 and a half, down 16 1/4. May at 388 and a half, down 16 1/4. And July at 399 and a quarter, down 16. September corn futures, 409 and a half, 16 1/4 lower. And December contract at 423, down 16 cents. Corn-related products, crude oil futures off $4.15 at this hour. Ethanol down 3 7/10 cents. And the RBOB gasoline just about 4 cents lower. Soy complex now, March beans down 33 at $9.76. May at 9.83 and 3/4, down 33. And July soybeans, 9.91 and 3/4, down 32 1/4. August contract, 9.85 and a half, down 29. September at 9.61, down 21. November beans off a dime at 9.35 and a half. The March bean meal down $7.70 at 3.08.60. Oil at 32.77. Down a buck even. Live cattle February contract $1.07 and a half lower at $81.27 and a half. The Jan Feb's feeders rather at $94.10 up 35. And the lean hog contract $55.75 on the lead option down $2.25 for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are down $4.15 at $41.58. Ethanol at $1.57 3/10, down 3 7/10. Natural gas at $4.50 8/10 is up 1 8/10 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $1.11 2/10, down 4 cents for the day. Propane futures at $72.88 are just about 8 8/10 cents higher, and the gold futures at $899.20, now trading down $9.30. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 81.86, just about 70 points higher on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 84.47 is up 0.08, and the CRB index at 220.78. is down 6.39 for the afternoon. Just a reminder, as we go through this week and listen on this radio station, the home station, WILL, to much of what's happening in Springfield, you can tune in either to our website at willag.org and listen to the Closing Market Report live, or to some of the other radio stations that we air on, including WHOW out of Clinton, WGFA out of Watsika, WKEI in Kewaunee. And if you're in the Taylorville area, we air at 5:30 in the afternoon on WTIM. So there are ways to get hold of the Closing Market Report other than through this radio station if you'd like to listen to them. As we go through the week and hear what's happening in Springfield and the Rod Blagojevich impeachment trial. Weather forecast very quickly says a winter storm weather advisory in effect for southeastern portion of central Illinois through tonight and for central third of Indiana until Wednesday morning. A winter storm warning in effect for portions of southwestern Illinois this evening. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On a Tuesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us to take up the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Ooh, kind of an ugly day in Chicago. I think maybe the news there sounds worse than the downturn, but still 30 cents lower in the nearby soybeans, 9 cents lower in the deferreds, corn futures off 15 to 16 cents. A lot of that having to do with the deflation in the crude oil, or the price of crude oil going lower today, I think.
You know, when crude oil really started falling apart, it's when the corn was only down about 6 or 8 cents a lot of the day, and then, of course, it moved on lower as crude pushed through the $3 mark and then got close to the $4 mark lower. Why, that just really stepped on it there, Todd. You know, we seem to see a lot of movement. We commented this morning when we were talking with Dave that, you know, here we were, 60 cents different than we were the same time the morning before on the beans. The attitude in Chicago yesterday being want to buy, want to buy, want to buy, and today being want to sell, want to sell, want to sell. So, you know, today the funds were, traditional funds were sellers. They sold 4,000 beans, a couple thousand corn, 1,500 wheat, and, the commercials were actually selling calls. So that total different attitude today than yesterday early in the day.
Is it all just related to what's happening in those outside markets, or are there other things that are impacting the marketplace?
Well, you know, of course, we saw the increase rainfall forecast for Argentina for right. The weekend into Tuesday like that. That's a long ways off in the world of weather. We do continue to see some strengthening ideas that we could be seeing a change in the trend and the weather down there. But yet the noon forecast actually moved it back 12 to 18 hours on some of the heavy rains. So that's what we're talking about is a very fickle weather forecast and a very fickle weather market. And then, of course, then the economy as we look at it and some of the problems we're looking at with the crude oil, the dollar, and, of course, then just what's going on and all the political things that's going on. The president-elect trying to get his economic bill through, and we're looking at just the whole economic package. But, you know, the crude oil is definitely one of the things that's hurting the ethanol talk of that. Anyhow, one of the interesting things we saw, though, Todd, was that the ethanol credits, which the blenders buy and sell, used to actually whether they do or don't blend the ethanol when they've used a little more, jumped 28% in price last week. And that might give a little more incentive to be blending some ethanol again soon. So that's just a little bit of positive to what's going on there.
Well, a little bit of positive. I wonder, when we get into a weather market like we are at this point, in the doldrums of the wintertime for producers here, does it make your job harder?
Oh, my gosh. You know, this morning we were calling down a couple cents there. You know, the overnight trade, the beans are down a couple cents, and we closed. And then we come in, and we're 30 lower on the open just as they pop open like that. Very crazy. How do you manage that? What do you do? How do you hang in there on that as for how we look at the weather forecast in between in that way? And the overnight trade seems to be losing volume. The volume seems to be very light in the overnight trade now, and then some very drastic moves. Just on the open, like yesterday, we were up 20, 30 cents, and this morning down 20, 30 cents. And I think nerve-wracking is a good way to put it.
What do you make of the loss in volume in the overnight trade then?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's just the fact that the volatility has been so great and along the way, and that some of our market participants have went the way of abandoning the overnight trade just because of the thinness of trade for right now and because of the uncertainty of the weather markets.
Right. So when we have low volume, especially in the overnight trade, I think things could move fairly sharply, really fast, and might be dangerous, I guess.
Yes. And that even happened in the daytime market. We talked to some of our associates on the floor at the in the open outcry pits today, and it was very, very quiet on the old trading floor. It was mainly electronic trade that was happening today. But we are seeing more and more selling of the calls above the market. I think commercial sold March 420 corn calls for about 7 cents today, and they sold May $12 bean calls for 26. And they sold July $8 wheat calls today also. So we're seeing a little bit of a negative attitude coming out of the commercials on this down move here, Todd.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that the Obama administration has decided to reopen until the end of March the public comment period on rules for payment limits on farm programs. Agriculture industry groups say that the Bush administration went far beyond the intent of Congress in issuing interim rules on what it means to be actively engaged in farming and who is eligible for farm subsidies. And Vilsack withdrew a Bush administration plan to use $3.2 million from a fruit and vegetable block grant program, which would have shifted the money for enforcement of the mandatory country of origin labeling program for agricultural products. Vilsack also signaled USDA will be doing more to help the ethanol industry. Vilsack says USDA has three goals: improving efficiencies of existing operations, expanding ethanol markets, and, quote, providing some bridge from hard times to better times. Yesterday, a Texas ethanol plant still under construction filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Hereford Biofuels hopes to sell the startup within 2 months. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says he is concerned about Commodity Futures Trading Commission nominee Gary Gensler because of his deregulatory orientation in the past. Harkin says a confirmation hearing will be scheduled soon. Meanwhile, Harkin and Ag Committee member Dick Lugar, a Republican from Indiana, are leading a group of 38 senators in urging the Obama administration to request additional funding in its budget for legislation to reauthorize federally sponsored school breakfasts and lunches and other feeding programs for children. In a letter to President Obama, the 38 senators said adding funding for the new legislation is critical to improving child health and for increasing the participation of low-income children, especially because of deteriorating economic conditions. And Argentina's president yesterday declared an agricultural emergency in areas impacted by what is being called the worst drought to hit the country in 4 decades. The action will allow farmers in affected areas to defer some tax payments for 1 year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to this program and other agricultural programming from the radio station. It's all at willag.org, and it's free, including our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. You've got nothing to lose, because if you don't like it, just hit unsubscribe, and we'll take you off the list as fast as you got on that list. It's all at willag.org. If you can't get there to listen to the MP3 files or happen to miss this program on the radio, you can always call this phone number, 217-333-3434. At 10:30 and 3:15 daily, we update that phone number with the latest numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and Mercantile Exchange, along with a little bit of analysis. It's all right there on what we call our mobile analyst portal. That's 217-333-3434. Other news, of course, the weather coming up at the bottom of the hour. Not so great if you're in the southern part of Illinois and Indiana. Actually, the weather's coming up from the south, and that means that there are a few cancellations out there, including this one. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated was scheduled to be at the Holiday Inn tonight at 7 o'clock with the folks from EFG. That's not going to happen. So if you're planning to make the trip over there to see Mike Zuzulo or Chuck Shelby or the folks from EFG, it's been canceled due to the weather. Scheduled at the Holiday Inn at 7 o'clock this evening. The Risk Management Commodities panel discussion this evening has been canceled. Now up next, you know, yesterday I told you all about the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. The when, the where, and the how. But I didn't get to the why. Today, we'll talk a little bit more about why when that auctioneer begins his call on the 19th of February in Springfield, that it will impact the fate of the cattle industry in the state of Illinois. This year marks the 41st Illinois performance-tested bull sale. Sale manager and University of Illinois Extension Animal Systems team specialist Dave Seibert says it has guided the development of the beef cattle industry in the state for decades.
I always say it's probably had one of the biggest genetic impacts, and it comes from a couple, several different ways. I mean, this is really beyond the 4,146 bulls that we sold over this period of time and the $6.6 million that the sale has generated. We actually look, of course, we approach it from strictly an educational basis, that first of all, we want to impact that purebred operator out there, how he goes about making selections, what AI he uses, what traits he tends to emphasize, and we feel that our sale with 80 or 100 or 120 bulls isn't really that big an impact as compared to the number of bulls that are sold throughout the state by, you know, purebred breeders. You know, that's what really has the big impact. And if we can impact the AI sires, his selection process, the bulls he sells to his customers, the heifers he retains is really, we feel, is where the big impact has. Comes from.
This, says Seibert, is because the commercial cattle producer in Illinois is using breed stock that comes from bulls sold at the IPT. Over time, you can see that impact, including what will happen based off the sale of the 117 bulls this year.
Of those 117, 83 are Angus, 33 are Simmental, and there's one polled Hereford. And, you know, a lot of people might say, oh, it's almost an all-black sale because I think I only have one red Simmental in the sale. So there's probably only two, you know, non-black bulls in the sale. But things go in cycles. When we look back, when the sale first started, it was predominantly a polled Hereford sale. And then it became an Angus sale, and then a Charolais sale, and then a Simmental, and then Gelbys became popular. And now at this period of time, Angus is a popular breed. Or if there's Simmental, usually they're black, and, you know, of course, a number of those are what we refer to as composite bulls, meaning percentage bulls that definitely have a place in the industry.
A place in the industry provided by the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. This year's auction is at 11 a.m. Thursday, February the 19th on the State Fairgrounds in Springfield. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com. Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Mike Wolverton of Kansas State University Extension, Grains and Biofuels Ag Economist, joins us now to take up the energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
I am very well today. This is a good day to take up the energy markets because crude oil is off fairly sharply, down $4.15 at this hour at 41 58 for the day, and certainly having an impact in Chicago. What do you make of the drop in the crude oil market?
That's true. I don't think anyone expected crude oil to drop like it has today. But there's concern about demand with the economic climate the way it is.
Well, maybe we ought to take that up. Your expectation for ethanol plant closings in 2009 as they compared to the mandate?
There was a list published recently, and there were 27. There are 27 ethanol plants closed at the moment, 1.7 billion gallons of capacity. And as a result, we've seen corn grind for ethanol production drop significantly, 100 million bushels in the last USDA report. But this year, 2009, the ethanol mandate jumps up to 10.2%, which means we're going to need to use a lot more corn. I was doing some estimates here, and we're going to need about 4.5 billion bushels of corn to make enough ethanol to meet the mandate, if indeed these plants produce that much. And this goes counter to what we've been reading about the estimated corn acres planted this spring. Early estimates are that the corn acres might be down 4 or 5% this year, but my numbers show that we need to jump those acres up 7% this spring if we're going to have enough corn to cover all the needs, including ethanol production.
How many extra acres is that? 7% is...
It picks up to 92 million acres of corn planted. We planted 86 million acres last year, and I don't think anyone at this point is really looking ahead that far.
Do you really think there's that much demand out there on the export and domestic usage market then? Apparently so.
I was very conservative. I kept the feed usage number fairly low, but I figured that we won't have so much feed wheat next year, and corn will recover some of the demand lost to feed wheat, and I did the same for exports. I raised exports a little bit from above this year, but quite a bit below last year. So I think I was very conservative on these estimates of corn usage. The big jump, of course, was from ethanol, which would go from about 3.6 billion bushels to 4.5 billion bushels, which boost our total need for corn next year to 13.2 billion bushels.
Well, I guess that would mean the month of February will have to be an awfully good month for corn prices in Chicago, don't you think?
I've been watching this soybean-to-corn price ratio, and the nearby futures contracts favor soybeans, but if you look at the harvest time prices, November soybeans, December corn, it's 2.3 soybeans over corn, which is the historic average. So I think at this point it's a toss-up. But I think the market, when the market takes note of this, we're going to start seeing the market try to bid acres into corn this spring because we're going to need them.
And finally, worry in the ethanol industry. Is there much about the Verisun's auction of the plants that it'll set a pretty low valuation for ethanol capacity?
Well, that's a concern, and I've been looking at some of the recent sales, and ethanol capacity of older plants has been selling for around $1 to $1.10 per gallon of capacity, which is about half of what it costs to build a new plant. And the concern, I think, among ethanol plants is that owners of ethanol plants is that this low valuation may cause their lenders to revalue their plant assets. And they might drop their collateral below the debt covenant agreements, which would cause them to have to pay more money in or put up more assets to cover their debts.
Well, between that and your acreage prediction should make for an interesting February for sure.
I think it's going to be very interesting, Todd.
All right. Thanks much.
You're welcome.
Mike Wolverton is a grains and energies, ag energies expert out of Kansas State University. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Chocolate Cake Day. The domestication of coca beans dates back to at least 1500 B.C., And by 300 BC, Maya elitists were drinking an unsweetened coca drink made from the ground beans. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, Ralph Majewski was born. A Polish-born American bridge builder and designer, his first major commission was the design and construction of a 7-span bridge with railway and highway over the Mississippi River at Rock Island, Illinois. In 1922, Nellie Bly died. In 1889, Bly successfully completed an attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter and completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. And in 1950, Science Magazine announced the new antibiotic terramycin. Made by Charles Pfizer and Company, it was isolated from Indiana soil and found to be effective against pneumonia, dysentery, and other infections. It was the result of the company's intensive quest to find new organisms to fight disease. Acting on theories that bacteria-fighting organisms would be found in soil, Pfizer solicited soil samples worldwide, received 135,000 soil samples, and conducted more than 20 million tests. Researchers literally got soil samples from the bottom of mine shafts, from the bottom of the ocean, from the desert, mountains, and everywhere in between. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather on a Tuesday afternoon is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Don, tell me about this big system that's coming up out of the south and putting some really harsh weather into the bottom part of Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, I think, is getting some sleet and snow at this hour. How ugly is it?
It is going to be ugly. It's going to be a narrow ribbon of ice and snow, but for folks in that ribbon, it's going to be pretty bad. Ice accumulation could be as much as a quarter to a half inch, especially across portions of Kentucky, the extreme southern portions, as you mentioned, of Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, back into southeastern Missouri. There's going to be a pretty significant band of heavy snow on the northern fringe of this that'll get up into the central counties of Ohio, Illinois, and south central and southeastern areas of Illinois, and then this will spread into New England tomorrow along the eastern seaboard, hitting Boston, New York City, Philadelphia, a whole big wintry mess. Now, there's going to be some good rain south of the cold air across the southeast states and even into portions of Florida.
Maybe we better turn our attention to some good rain and talk a little bit about Argentina, South America, and Brazil.
Well, yeah, and it's been a situation where Argentina just keeps getting missed out of most of these systems. And while Brazil has had some moisture, they've been missing out as well. Now, the forecast, Todd, is for some rain in the forecast, but it's not going to be a lot. And again, it's going to be favoring areas further north into Brazil. Only extreme northern areas of Argentina really has a good chance of moisture. Some of the central and east-central growing areas of Argentina have got a chance for rain. But if you look at soil moisture profiles across South America, boy, Argentina, as you stated, really, really dry. Brazil's starting to get drier as well.
The Argentine government, so dry now that the Argentine government is taking action for the farmers. Can you give us an idea of how really dry this might be?
Well, when we take a look at that accumulated moisture and then the soil moisture profile, we see that there are areas that are as much as, well, let's say we're going to talk here in centimeters, anywhere between 3 to 6 centimeters below normal in terms of soil moisture conditions, which is quite a bit, especially in the central and northern areas.
Other places around the planet we ought to check in on?
Well, if we look at the northern hemisphere, it's winter everywhere. Lots of stormy weather in Europe, over into Russia. It's basically just what I would call a textbook January weather pattern, perhaps one of the coldest and stormiest Januaries in recent memory, not only here in North America, but across the northern hemisphere.
And on that note, because we're in the bullseye, at least part of our listening area is in the bullseye for this big storm that's happening now, maybe you could tell us what happened overnight with you there in Wyoming.
Well, across the northern and central Rockies of Montana and some portions of Colorado and Wyoming, there was 3 to 4 feet of snow in the mountain areas, and then anywhere from about 8 to 15 inches of snow on the plains, and that covered a large swath of the western Dakotas, western Nebraska as well. Some wheat country of Colorado and Nebraska got some good moisture out of this, and that's good, especially since temperatures in some areas of western Nebraska hit 27 below this morning. Luckily, that came with snow cover. However, one thing we'll need to keep an eye on, Todd, is that temperatures did drop below zero on bare ground over portions of western and southwest Kansas last night, and a light coating of ice across the Texas panhandles and wheat areas of Oklahoma and Texas last night and this morning. We'll need to see if that did any damage.
Al, thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Tuesday afternoons. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.